Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily, yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello and welcome to week 18 of the Foot Weekly Podcast. This is a gameplay pod and delighted to welcome back after a little while, to be honest, Andy AJ3. Hello, Andy. Welcome.
Hello. I've even got, since I last been on, my little R9.
Yeah,
for being my little match ball, because I seen you in Vancouver, Ben, and I got a little R9 plaque.
Yeah, because I was promising a match ball for many years, which never happened. But yeah, you got a little Foot Weekly R9, which, you know, some icon sports out there may still have. Anyway, let's move on to introducing our next guests. No R9s on this podcast, but we do have an Air Japes. Hello, welcome.
Might as well be.
I thought you were more of a center back.
Yeah, that's true. Close enough. Happy to be back on chatting about gameplay. Always, a hot topic of discussion. And, you know, I refuse to use the words the Virgil van Dijk this podcast.
Yeah, we talked a lot about Van Dijk and
what a horrible
on
man.
The last podcast. So we will avoid him and we will instead introduce Josh Excels. Hello, Josh. Welcome back.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm sweating it out in a draft game at the moment. So, you know, it's the first time I've ever been playing, I think, whilst on pod. So it's a new experience. 1-0 up, so we'll see if we can pull through.
A little challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you trying to do the upgrade objective? Is that what? Yeah.
Well, it's the last day for the upgrade objective. I need one win. I was like, I'll just go first round. I'll get an easy rage quit. Complicate's an absolute demon. So.
But you're 1-up.
I am 1-up, yeah, because
okay.
I'm a demon myself.
Yeah.
Not really.
Well, hopefully some gameplay tips from you then, Josh. And we'll get into that in a second. Actually, first of all, we're going to talk a bit about personnel because some people might not know, Andy, but you're running an Everton past and present, right? Road to glory.
Kind of. People get really annoyed about the fact that my team isn't just entirely Everton past and present.
Okay.
To me, my road to glory is Evolution Everton. I'm going to evolve Everton players and put them into the team where I see fit to like have fun, try them out, play some foot champs, et cetera, try and get better at the game. The amount of comments I get every single video, when did Zidane play for Everton, Andy? I was like, well, he didn't, but I did his SBC and he's got 5-star skills and I wanted to go. Like, I did do a full Everton foot champs last week and it was painful. So we won't be doing that for a little while again.
I've talked about it on this podcast before too, but it's nice to have like evolution criteria. So you're not just looking out into the like abyss of possible evolutions. And for you saying like Everton players, past or present, that's where my Evos go or bust. Mm-hmm. I've been doing like young Bundesliga players as my like all of my Evos. And it makes, take those players, splash them in with icons or any of the other SBCs and like away you go.
Mm.
Right. And it's like a Evo theory.
It gives you a focal point, but it doesn't mean you have to run a full team of them. So like I played 400 games with James Garner, having gone into one of the centre mid Evos and one of the right back Evos, and he has intercept plus. He's like 86 rated and he's pretty good, but I love him and he's classed as my CDM and I like it just because he's an Everton player. And when James Garner gets the ball, I'm like, yes, go on, James Garner, what an absolute legend. And he intercepts the ball.
Yeah.
Whereas I've dropped him currently and Vieira's playing there. And obviously Vieira is better, but it's not as like exciting to me. But the reason I dropped him is because team chemistry, basically, because I was starting Garner at right back and then moving him to centre mid. And I was playing a Wobi right back and I wanted to bring Doucouré in and get a sweaty right back. So got Doucouré instead. But yeah, I'm not about the full Everton because I'm sure as we'll come on to with gameplay, it's a little bit hindering playing against Blanc, Van Dijk, et al. Every single game with Yerry Mina and Gerard Branthwaite.
Mm.
But I like an Everton Evo and it gives you something good to focus on.
Yeah. And so who is the best Everton evolution that you've done, do you think? And what makes them good, I guess, is a good question.
Okay. So this is a bone of contention I have with EA is just EVOs in general. Some of them are just stupid, but we won't go onto that too much. We can come back for a content podcast. Fake stats is what really annoy me. I have a 90 rated Vitali Mikalenko. I paid maybe 175k to EVO him to get him. Maybe just 75. I can't remember exactly what I put him through, but I paid coins to get him basically. He's absolutely awful. Genuinely the worst card I have used on this entire game. I'm going on my game now to get his stats up to you. I'll tell you what we're talking with. He's been through Pep's Legacy and he's been through a couple of other EVOs. He's got Incisive Pass Plus. He's 90 rated. He's got 67 dribbling.
67 dribbling?
Like dribbling as in-game dribbling, 67. So his actual dribble on card is 76 because he has 90 reactions, but he's got 67 in-game dribbling and 74 composure. So if anyone's right wing goes anywhere near you, you can't control what he does and he just falls over his own legs and you lose the ball.
That is mad.
He's appalling. So bad. He's got 99 crossing and 97 short passing, but he has 71 vision. So he knows exactly where the ball's going to go, but he can't see who's there.
That's crazy.
Never has there been a more accurate description for how it works.
Yeah. EVOs frustrate me, Ben. I can't lie. There's some very good ones as well.
Yeah.
Where my best one is the one who doesn't have fake stats, basically.
Yeah.
And that is Abdoulaye Doucouré. He's been through four things. Well, I can tell you because I've got him on my foot.gg EVOs section. Let me go on it and I'll tell you. He's been through four different ones and two of them aren't, and maybe some of the other ones have expired now as well. The last one he went through is Keep and Balance, which I was a little bit hesitant to put him into as a centre mid. So Toughen Up, Dribbling Sensation, Radioactive Maestro, Keep and Balance.
So Quick Step Plus on a midfielder as well.
Quick Step Plus on a centre mid. Yeah, a bit rogue, but that Evo is designed to give agility and balance upgrades, which is the one thing Doucouré suffered from. And actually, the playstyle plus works quite well. It's pretty good. But he's got 83 pace, 84 shooting, 90 passing, 88 dribbling, 83 defending, and 89 physical. He's like Hulagang and then some. I've got a engine on him to give him a bit more agility and balance and stuff like that. And basically, this guy is 87 rated on his card. And when you go on, sorry to disparage the lovely name of foot.gg, which I do love, but I don't think you guys have this on the website, where you can see what rating a player should be, as opposed to what rating up EA said they are. He's a 91 rated centre mid. And then with an engine on him, he's 93.
Yeah.
And he's unbelievable.
Yeah. So actually, I guess the interesting thing about doing what you've done is you probably learned a lot about certain in-game stats, I suppose. Would you say there are certain in-game stats you now value more? Or
yes. Composure and reactions are imperative. And one of the things that really winds me up is EA's seeming complete inaction on that. They've given us loads of EVOs and people have done loads of EVOs for bronze cards and stuff. And they end up with really good stats on their cards, but they're absolutely terrible because they don't have good reactions and composure.
Yeah.
And they've brought that like keep and balance and stuff. And that was good. Fair enough. That was agility and balance. The skill moves one really, really annoyed me because rather than just being like, you've got someone who you really like, who's got 3-star skills, let's make them 4-star. No, we're going to give you plus 3 pace as well. So now you have to have max of 89 pace. Like, I just want to make Calvert-Lewin 4-star skills and 4-star weak foot. He's 3-star, 3-star. Let me put him in it. But it irritates me that they don't do EVO specifically targeted for things. And they really need to do one for reactions and composure. Because I have a Lewis Dobbin who's got 91 pace, 90 shooting. He started as 64 rated. He's 84 now. He's got 74 reactions and 76 composure.
Yeah.
So he has, with the chemistry style on him, 92 finishing. He's got 92 finishing anyway. With a chemistry style, it's 99, sorry.
Yeah.
Can't shoot to save his life if there's a defender by him.
Yeah. And actually, the other question we should ask is playstyles as well, because you mentioned Doucouré with Quick Step Plus. That's not something you'd see very often. A player of his build in the midfield with Quick Step Plus. The particular playstyles that have sort of stood out to you as a result of these slightly strange EVOs.
So Doucouré actually suffers from a lack of playstyles, considering his rating. He's got Incisive Pass, Long Ball Pass, Press Proven, which is actually really good, and then obviously Quick Step Plus. Whereas my James Garner, who's played 400 games for me, has Incisive Pass, Ping Pass, Long Pass, Intercept Plus, Slide Tackle, Bruiser, Magnetic First Touch, and Relentless.
Whew.
And I think playstyles are more important than stats, unless it's Eusebio.
Yeah.
Eusebio's got no playstyles.
Yeah.
I conceded about 4 overhead kicks in consecutive games to Eusebio today. I was like, bloody hell, that acrobatics doing work. He doesn't have it. He hasn't got a shooting play style at all. It's ridiculous. Same for Harry Kane. Harry Kane doesn't have a shooting play style.
Yeah.
Just bangs it in the goal. Doesn't, not even bothered. My Beto can have all the shooting play styles in the world and they'll fall over his own legs.
Yeah, stats do still matter, don't they? But yeah, play styles can do a lot as well, yeah. I think we've talked about defensive ones a lot last week, but not really so much attacking ones. And while we're talking about play styles, one of the things that people are basically 100% sure, or feel 100% sure is happening for Team of the Year, is two play style pluses.
Yes.
And I'd be interested to know if people have particular combinations that they're really looking forward to seeing around Team of the Year time. Josh, why don't we come to you? And actually, before you do that, any particular points you wanted to make about stats? Because I know, obviously, you've been upgrading really low-rated players, so I've probably seen this yourself firsthand as well.
Yeah, so like as part of the series I've run with NEP, where we're taking the worst players in the game, we've called it Evo to Glory, affectionately known as the shitters. We now have players that have gone from 47 rated to 80 and 84 rating. And it's one of those things where I know it's quite specific, but I do think we should start getting Evos that upgrade specific in-game stats, especially important ones like composure. And they have started doing it, like you said, with the agility and balance ones. But it's definitely an area, because of the way that their upgrades work when they add, I don't know, 5 defending, because of the way it's distributed to the higher rated stats. When you take like bronze players, that disparity gets even bigger. And so, you know, Wang Tengda, for example, has 83 dribbling, but has 99 agility, 99 balance, and 66 composure. So that's too big. And there needs to be a way to try and work that out, whether that's built into like a milestone that you have to play with that card a number of times to then unlock the evolution that gives you plus 10 composure or something like that. So in terms of stats wise, like that's where I hope that with the next kind of evolution of evolutions goes to. In terms of the double play styles, it's less what I want to see and more what I'm terrified of seeing. Like rapid sure, and quick step as two play style pluses would just be terrifying.
Oh, quick step technical, dude.
Yeah. Any of those three together. Ugh. I'd be interested to see if you noticed a difference having whipped pass and long ball pass as two playstyle pluses. Does that make the crosses like completely undefendable at that point, or is it just still mildly undefendable? Because obviously a cross is kind of a long ball pass, so I'd be interested to see those two together. I think Travella finesse shot for a lot of people is going to be like the holy duo in attack, but then defensively it's probably Anticipate and Bruiser or Anticipate and Jockey. Those two, that's what I would look for if I was choosing a center back.
Quick step plus, I think, is just one in general that like you start adding that to players and now all of a sudden they can all generate their own space. So if you start adding that to as like a plus with any other shooting play style, like the idea of somebody having quick step plus power shot to me is like super, super scary. Because one little burst, they're gone, and then you can hit a power shot in like half a second. Like, it's like half a second. If somebody knows what they're like, how to appropriately execute it, I don't know how I will defend that. If they put that on, like, say like Bellingham had that in the midfield, forget about it.
Yeah, I'm actually really interested to see, and I feel like we probably will get a player with this, pinged pass and incisive pass, because incisive pass is really nice for three balls and stuff. I would think that pinged pass would increase the speed of those, but I'm not 100% sure. So that would be quite interesting. And I do think the passing play styles are kind of underrated, actually, and they're pretty good. Pinged pass and tiki-taka would also be quite good, I think. What about you, Andy? Any particular combos you want to give a shout out to?
I really like, this is a bit of a rogue one, magnetic first touch.
Yeah.
So I feel like if you could combine magnetic first touch with something that complemented it, and I'm trying to think off the top of my head what the best one would be. I'm not sure, you know. Magnetic first touch and press proven would be insane. Because you could just drill the ball into anyone's feet, take the perfect first touch and dribble around in unbelievably tight circles. That'd be quite good. So Zidane has magnetic first touch, but doesn't have, he has the plus and he doesn't have press proven at all. So I'm thinking, what if I had a press proven plus to my Zidane? How good a dribbling he would be?
Yeah.
That could be interesting. I'm a big fan of Relentless, you know.
Yeah, even the plus, because I feel like the regular one's pretty good anyway. But
I think the plus is a bit useless, but you can like R1 second man press to infinity, basically, with it, which is pretty cool. But just Relentless in general, I guess, is quite good. But it annoys me how EA seem incapable of watching football. when applying play styles. Like, there is obviously quite a lot of play styles that require you to be very, very good at football to get them.
Mm.
Like incisive pass, for example, or long ball pass, or the defensive ones. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be a good player to get them. But there's a few, and one of them really, really grinds my gears. Actually, long throw is not a play style. It's like a negative play style. Play styles are meant to make your players better. It makes them worse. Really annoying.
Yeah, well, because it sends your centre back to go take a throw on the like right wing.
On the right
position.
Wing, yeah. Yeah. Or your left back taking throws at right wing.
Yeah.
That one is basically irrelevant of your football ability.
Mm.
And the other one that's irrelevant of your football ability kind of is relentless. It's just that you run around a lot, basically.
Yeah.
There's so many players that I watched play for Everton. Like, we've got bloody Sean Dyche as our manager. How does Doucouré not have relentless just on his normal card? How does McNeil not have... McNeil's got like 60 stamina, for Christ's sake. The man doesn't stop running. They just don't watch football. So I'd like to see them be a little bit more liberal with the normal play styles, considering how OP play style pluses are, especially the ones that are physical rather than technical football ability.
Yeah, the ones that annoy me a bit are intercept, considering there's already a stat. I don't know. That feels weird. And anticipate, because it feels like they just added more bounce backs so that anticipate could work, if you know what I mean.
Do you know what I feel with anticipate? I feel like you can feel this, especially when you're running players like Lewis Dobbin, where they don't have good composure or reactions. Centre-backs have a sphere of influence, is probably the best way to describe it. And it's as if there's a bubble around them. And if your attacker goes into that bubble and they have better composure, reactions, strength, whatever it may be.
Aggression, probably, yeah.
Aggression's probably a good one, yeah. It's as if you lose the ability to properly control your players.
Mm.
That really winds me up just in general anyway, to be honest with you. But with Anticipate Plus, it seems like if you get anywhere within that zone, they just take the ball off you. Like, Van Dijk is 6 foot tall, but his legs are 8 foot long. So is Laurent Blanc. I don't understand how it's humanly possible for them to tackle the ball off you sometimes. It's mad.
I really agree with Josh's point earlier about Bruiser and Anticipate Plus. I think the combination of the two would be just kind of unreal. Yeah. People will just be like spamming tackle and it'll just be successful constantly, throw the other player out of the way. Yeah, it's going to be kind of crazy. And also, especially because Van Dijk's actually going to be really likely to be one of the players in the team of the year. Him with that would be kind of crazy. I think we'll actually take a break here because I want to talk about a particular play style, and that is Travella and Travella Gate, as we're calling it, in just a second.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Is it time to change your approach and switch to Air Supra, albuterol budesonide? Now you can virtually connect with a doctor to discuss your options and see if it's time to make a change. If appropriate, you may even be able to get a prescription for Air Supra the same day. Talk to a doctor today and see if Air Supra is right for you. Visit airsupraconnect.com to connect with a provider.
Hello, welcome back after the break. Let's get talking about Travella Gate.
give me all the information, Ben.
Well, Andy, before I do, maybe give us a bit of context for the listeners. You had a sort of back and forth on Twitter, X, about this.
So I tweeted out basically saying, what does Travella actually do? Because where you look completely depends on what it says. If you look in-game and on their website, it says that the normal Travella playstyle has no effect on passes or shots and simply triggers animations. Whereas the plus obviously does that as well, but also has reduced error for passes only. Only passes. On the web app, it says that the play style has reduced error for passes and shots. So on the web app, it says the normal one is better than the play style plus, according to the game.
Yeah.
And it says that the play style plus has greatly reduced error for passes and shots. And then if you go into the deep dive that they did at the start in the pitch notes, it says something different again, which is the one I'm inclined to believe.
Mm.
Contextually triggers travellers when beneficial. Increased accuracy on passes, passes only, but unique high power and high curve trajectory animations. That is what I would probably believe. But then I had, I think it was Stokes.
Yeah.
He's a professional FIFA player or FC player. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's talking about. Just straight up telling me I'm wrong, basically, and that they don't do anything at all. And some his best players are doing travellers are players without the play style at all.
Mm.
And I mean, I find it's obviously hard for me as a little 11, 14, 16, depending on the weekend league scrub, to be telling this professional FIFA player that he doesn't know what he's on about.
Mm.
But he said, traveller animations get triggered more, but the shots aren't affected. You can score just as regularly with Kyle Walker as you can with De Jong. It's just power and body shape. Putelas has the best travellers in the game, but no playstyle.
Hmm. Because I think this is something that, Japes, you said before, right?
The one that kind of like confirmed my belief for these was the sheer volume of travellers that I started scoring with Baka.
Okay.
And it's because she has 92 base curve and 98 base shot power. And so I would just like let her attack and everybody's like scared of her whipped cross, like rightfully so. And I would just sort of like step inside and just start hitting travellers. And I was like, what is going on here? Like, does she have this play style? And I didn't know about it. Nope, doesn't have the play style. And so from that point on, I just started using them all the time. If any player has decent curve and shot power, you can absolutely score a Travella with them. Like, absolutely. Hmm. So I'm kind of on the belief that like Travellas themselves are just kind of insanely strong.
Hmm.
Yeah, for me, that's where I think, like, I do think that Travella Plus, I'm not sure about the base Travella, but definitely Travella Plus, I do think it improves the shots I take with Travellas. I feel like I can score from much tighter angles and from situations where I shouldn't really score them. But I do think that just in general, Travellas are overpowered. And I think that the interesting thing that I've seen pros especially talk about is you can score just as regularly. And I think that that's true when you're a pro taking shots from certain angles that you found are like high percentage chances. But I think for the more casual player that's maybe taking shots when they've just created a bit of space wherever it is, I do think that Travella Plus makes a big difference to the, especially those looped ones that kind of go, that kind of break the goalkeeper.
Mm.
That's where I feel like it has the most effect. And it would make sense because every other play style that affects the way a ball is struck, it says it gives them higher power and higher accuracy, every other play style.
Mm.
It would be surprising if a Travella play style was just like a visual thing that it was like, oh, you can hit it in this cool way.
This is such like a simple thing for them to come out and say, yeah, this is what it does.
Oh, it really winds me up so much. Like you play League of Legends and it's like, this does exactly 0.2 health if they've got 10 armor and 15 magic resist. And this is exactly what happens. And EA are like, yeah, it makes them a bit better.
Mm.
Well, what does that mean? Oh, I'm not going to tell you. Or are they, Ben? Or are they? Tell us.
I did some digging and my understanding is that they do affect shots, but Travellas are just a bit too strong anyway. And that's why people think it doesn't, right? Because you can actually just take them with any player, pretty much. Particularly players, as you were saying, James, with decent stats. And they are really likely to go in at the right angles and, you know, with a certain positioning of the keeper. And that makes people think that the Travella Plus isn't having an impact, where I believe it is. And I imagine it is something that potentially will get patched, because considering Finesse Plus and Finesse playstyles were patched because they were too strong, I could see Travella Plus potentially being patched mm-hmm. as well. I feel like the Finesse Plus...
Finesse is still good. Like, people just like totally stopped using it because it wasn't what it was. And it's still really strong.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there were people I played who made it their whole thing.
Yeah, it's their entire playstyle. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to do that, I just... people wanted it to be, people are like, oh, it's terrible now. And now all you have to do is, much like Trivella's, you just have to know the situation you're in. If you have a player with finesse in that situation, you're going to have a great time.
Yeah, I like the position that finesse is in now, where I can score some if I'm cutting inside with Zola and Green Timer. Yep. And you should be able to score it. But then you have some idiot who hasn't played since patch one, trying to score a 40-yard finesse with Heung-Min Son. And you're just like, mate, you can't do that anymore. That was ridiculous. But that did used to work.
Totally.
Joe, can I throw in one random thing about a different playstyle? Because of the mention of how every playstyle talks about being more accurate and traveling faster. Have you read the long ball plus one? There's an extra sentence.
No. Yeah, what does that say?
Lob and lofted through passes, them to the square in an L1 triangle, are even more accurate and travel faster than ever, obviously. This is the crazy bit. And are far more difficult to intercept. Now, this doesn't make the pass better, and it doesn't make the pass go somewhere different. It breaks the defender.
Yeah, you do see that, don't you? The defender's like, what am I doing?
This kind of confirms my tinfoil hat way of thinking about how goalkeepers work. I think when you have a shot, it takes the shooting stats of the person having a shot and the positioning and all that stuff. And it takes the stats of the goalkeeper and their height and everything else, and it decides whether the ball's going to go in and then presents an animation to accomplish that. Which is why you can run through on goal with an icon in goal and you shoot and they just kick it straight at them. Yeah. Whereas when I have bronze players in goal in Squabble Showdown, every single shot that you score goes flying in the top corner. And if it did that against Schmeichel, it would also go in. But when you shoot against Schmeichel, it doesn't do that because it kicks it for him to save it. And that seems to be some sort of, when you do it, and you can kind of see it with the pass things, can't you? When you play a through ball, how many times does it play it into the perfect channel for the defender to just about get there? As if it's like making a bit of drama, or it just about runs too far so the goalkeeper grabs it on the edge of the box. And you wouldn't, no matter what you did, you were never, ever going to be able to get that pass because you're doing an assisted pass. And that's what the game's decided is going to happen. That seems to be what long ball pass does. Except it decides that the defender's not going to get it instead, and he falls over his own legs and you run for own goal. It is mental.
I will say that long ball pass, even the base one,
class,
when I do my crossfield R1 squares, if they have long ball pass, I find so much more often that the wing back goes walkabouts trying to track the ball, like sprints at the player who's passed the ball rather than tracking that the ball's going over his head. Whereas if they don't have it, it's a lot more likely that it becomes a contested ball.
Yeah.
So that would make sense.
This R1 square pass.
Yeah.
I played somebody before. Is that the one where it's manual?
Yeah.
Yes.
Precision pass, yeah.
So I played against a guy. He had Mukiele and Havertz, both with the whipped cross thing, and I assume maybe long ball as well. He would kick off, do an L1X, LBA, whatever you want to call it, like a give and go pass with Havertz to his centre back. That would send Havertz on a run down the pitch. He would then do a normal long ball to Mukiele on the other side. And then his Mukiele would first time volley it and Havertz would be thrown goal.
Yeah.
Is that RB square? That is absolutely insane.
Yeah. So there's the first time. So it's a weird thing where off a sprint and first time is way more effective than if you're like still with loads of space and the ball's like stopped at your feet, which makes no sense whatsoever.
Mad.
And that from one side to the other, like, doing it over the top is really dangerous, but you don't even need to do that. So I play 3-1-4-2, because I regularly will have an extra person in the midfield who will overload a four-man midfield or a four-man defense. I have lots of space on the other side, so I can just, with whoever, just R1 square it like to the corner flag and essentially put my player in down that wing. And because I've got Bakker on one side and Chloe Kelly on the other, I've got whipped pass on both of them. It creates so many goals. And it is I think it's really broken, but I don't care because it's manual and I feel like I'm actually doing something rather than just like abusing a mechanic.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like broken mechanics that are manual just feel a lot better, obviously, than ones that don't. It's fair. I was actually thinking, this reminded me, talking about this, of something that I think you've talked about before, Andy, and that is players being caught flat-footed in FC24 and how you have to kind of mitigate for that in the way you play. I'm trying to recall, was it like Ozio was speaking to you about this or something?
Yeah. So this is to do with player lock and defensive AI and attacking AI being at an incredible disparity in terms of the eye part. The defense seems to have Einstein level intelligence whereas I think the attack part doesn't have any GCSEs. As you just said then, with you feel it's, you've done a broken mechanic, but it was manual, so it feels good. I can get on board with that, you know, like you've actually done something. My biggest problem with defending is it's not manual at all. It doesn't matter. Like, I'm sure you guys said you've talked about how ridiculous Van Dijk is in a previous episode and don't want to go into too much. Having played a full Everton foot champs with Jarrod Branthwaite and different combinations of like Yerry Mina and Finnegan and stuff like that at centre-back, and then that stupid Mikalenko at left-back, what you do doesn't matter as much as what players you have when it comes to defending. Whereas for attacking, because the AI is flipped the opposite way, having an Everton team didn't actually affect my attacking very much, because most of the stuff that you do to score a goal, you kind of do yourself anyway. So one of the biggest ones is player lock, where the attacking AI is so brain dead that if you have a player stood ball sides, like you've got the ball of your centre mid, their centre back is goal side, and you've got your back into the centre back with like Harry Kane or Beto or a big holder player or something like that, and you pass a ball into their feet, they just stand there and wait for the ball to come to them, and the defender just runs around them and gets the ball. Mm. And we've all experienced it a million times. So the counter to that is to use player lock, to turn player lock on, switch to the player that you want to pass it into feet of, run manually yourself towards the ball whilst asking for a short pass, and then you can actually play passes into feet.
Mm.
Obviously, how fast you can player lock switch, make a run and ask for the ball, you might get tackled, which is a bit of an issue in itself, but that is the mitigation of flat-footed players. And it's the same with like, if you've got the ball of your left back and you want to play a pass to your left wing, if you pass it to them, their right back will just run out and get the ball. But if you play a lock onto your left wing and run them back up the line towards you and ask for the ball, then you can actually pass it out of defence.
I would also say tapping RB does work in a lot of situations as well, if you're not feeling so confident, but yeah.
The issue with that is EA decide who's going to come towards you.
Yeah, well, it's harder to, you can aim it, right? If you're facing the player, but it's not always consistent. But in the fullback positions, yeah, I think it does work quite consistently. If you're looking at your forwards, I'm not sure. But
so I would find if I had my right back and pressed RB, it would make my right centre mid run towards me, which is fine. You can try and play like a passing triangle to get out of defence. But if I wanted to get my right wing to come back, I'd be spamming the crap out of R1, trying to get them to come back. And eventually they might do, but by that time, the pass might have gone. Whereas if you just quickly play a lock onto them and bring them back yourself, it's guaranteed to work.
Yeah.
And I guess EA's logic of who makes the run and who comes towards you when you press L1 and R1 probably works the same way as their who does the second man press logic, which is also completely broken. And if somebody's running down the left wing and you've got your right back, you manually take them over there, switch to your centre back to cover a pass and press R1. And then your left back does the second man press and your right back just watches them walk past. And the game's just completely broken and doesn't understand that when you press R1, you want the player next to the ball. They even have the change man indicator above the red, and it just randomly does it with somebody else. And you have to let go and then press it again and then hope that your fullback can catch up. So I don't trust the calling them short and sending one run to yourself. I like to do it myself with player lock, because you can make sure they actually do it properly. Whereas when EA decides, even bloody right stick switching. Have you seen that new setting they've added where you can choose the sensitivity of your right stick switching?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you mean I can choose the sensitivity? I point the stick at the player and you change to them. Nope. It's got logic built into it. And if you are controlling your CDM and want to change to your left centre back because somebody's making a run, so you flick your stick exactly towards your left centre back, EA might go, you didn't mean that. You wanted your left centre mid, and just give you them instead. And then they run for own goal.
Yeah.
And it just makes it up itself. So the more sensitive you make it, the more it actually listens to you. So I think I have mine on 8, and it still does it wrong sometimes.
Oh, see, I have mine on 2.
You have it on 2?
Yeah, I have mine really low as well, actually. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I started the year on 8, and I was like, oh my gosh, my player switching is atrocious. Like, I bumped it up because I was like, I wanted to be hypersensitive.
Mm-hmm.
I went way down and things are so much better. I also changed my player switching to like the LB to just be the closest player to the ball. And so it makes it really, really simple to know exactly who you're going to switch to.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. That's a good one. I might have to do the LB one.
And then if you want to switch to someone else, then you just flick the right stick and it works very, very often.
Interesting.
I've got to say, I do think player switching is probably the biggest skill gap in the game. I think it's the thing I notice the most when I watch pros, is that when they switch to the right player like no matter what situation, it's bang on every time. And when I play, it's more like I'm smashing RB and the right stick as many times as possible to try and like, I'm like going all over the defense and midfield trying to find the right player. And usually what I'm doing is I'm looking at the second man press symbol and thinking that's going to be the next person I switch to. And I'm switching all around them going, I'm not picking them up. And yeah, that I think is like, if you can learn to play a switch to the right player immediately, if you can figure out whatever system works best for you, I honestly think you will be very difficult to beat for the majority of players.
100%.
When I made that change, I think the following weekend, that's the weekend that I hit 20-0 for the first time.
Mm.
Which like, I would call myself like a, like 17-3, 18-2, like someone, but like I never, you know, and since making that change, I've hit 20-0 and 19-1 twice.
Mm.
Which like,
bloody hell. I'm turning my thing down to 2.
but like, why doesn't that make sense in some ways? Do you know what I mean? Like to me, when I like thought about it, I was like, oh, so basically I'm making it so I can just like fumble around a lot better and like be like blocky arrows versus like real precise arrows. Does that make sense? Like if you're trying to, like if it's a clock, player switching is a clock, and you're trying to hit like a block window of call it noon to 3 to go in that direction, or instead you're asking the game to interpret you hitting like 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, or 3 o'clock, like I would just rather hit the blocks.
Mm. I like the specificity that you get with the more sensitive one. The amount of times
but
I've been...
But you are being... But like how often do you need to be that specific?
So what I seem to find was that I would be running down the line, do a player lock to player, then player switch onto my striker in the box, and it'd decide that I meant my center mid who was still on the halfway line. And it just, I couldn't understand what I was doing. And at one point I have the controller on the screen so I can see my inputs. Oh, this is something that really winds me up. This happened quite a few times today as well. Yeah, you just don't listen to what you're pressing. Like you press L1 and triangle and say chip through ball and it just does a normal one. But anyway, I screen recorded with the PlayStation broadcasting like the last 15 minutes of gameplay and I went back and watched it. And I flicked my stick towards my striker and EA decided that I didn't mean that and give me the center mid instead. And I was just like, this is stupid. Like, I want you to change to my striker and I'm flicking the stick at the striker, but your AI logic is going, the best player to change to in this situation is this one. So that's clearly who he means. And I don't know, it just really annoyed me.
I actually think that might be a situation where it would have been better though, because, or were you saying that you were on a low sensitivity at that point?
No, I was on, I think it was just on default on 5.
Mm.
And I pushed the stick towards Kane and it changed to Doucouré. And I wanted Kane and it didn't give me it because it thought the best thing to change to in that situation was Doucouré. So then I made the sensitivity higher so that it actually freaking listens to me.
Is your switching on ball relative or player relative?
Player.
I'd read the thing and like the key thing is like, it says the higher the sensitivity, the more the game will respect your R directional input when selecting the next player. The lower the sensitivity, the more likely the game is to select a player in closer proximity, even if the R direction is not pointed directly at them. And I think for me, how many times am I trying to right stick switch to a player super far away? Like if I think they're going to play a big crossfield ball, I would much rather flick the right stick twice to get over there than to like try to nail it the first time with like the exact direction or like leave that sensitivity. For me, oftentimes you have max maybe like 4 players around your players. Like there's 4 directions. You can go like north, south, east, or west. And if I lower the sensitivity and I can pick more consistently the closer player to me in the like general direction, that's a massive win.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the big thing to think about with this for me is almost the more problematic thing about getting a bad switch is not necessarily where you end up, but the fact you don't know where you're going to end up, if that makes sense. So you can't immediately react to the player you've selected. Whereas at least if you mess up, actually there's only so many players you're going to end up switching to when you have the low sensitivity on, right? And you're much more likely to just get the player that you thought you were going to get, even if you're not able to travel as far with your switch. And as you say, you can just double flick if you want to go further. So yeah, I'm a big advocate of low sensitivity. And to be fair, a few people, after we mentioned it, it was maybe early on in the cycle now, said that they changed to that and felt it had been helpful. So
right, I'm gonna change it and I'll come back and let you know.
Yeah, Andy, let us know. I want to take a break and we'll come back to talk about Andy's fun that he's been having, of course, in champs and maybe a bit about mentality, that sort of thing. We'll catch you in just a second. Hello, listener. If you get to the end of this episode and think, could do with some more Foot Weekly podcast action this week, then every week there is a supporter episode and those supporters support for just £3 a month. And in fact, you can sign up for free on a free trial for 7 days. And there is a Team of the Year giveaway going on too. So 36,000 FC points could be yours in time to potentially pack a Team of the Year. 12,000 is going to be given away each week, but you only need to enter once, which does mean it's best to get in there early. So if you'd like to enter that and support the pod, keep it going, then just head over and search Support Foot Weekly in Google or follow the link in the description of this podcast. A huge thank you to those supporters keeping the podcast going and of course to anyone who considers doing so. Let's jump back into the podcast.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI. It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Anytime Fitness is for real people with real fitness goals. I mean, let's be honest. Most of us aren't training for marathons or half marathons or even half marathons. Only time most of us are running at all is if we're trying to make a connecting flight. Wouldn't have been late if we didn't stop to buy a headphone dongle. Point is, you gotta be ready. You do not want to deal with rebooking. Anytime Fitness, where real people help you make real progress. Join today and get a plan for training, nutrition, and recovery.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Hello, welcome back after the break. So, Andy, champs. It's been a good champs year, I guess, overall for you. It's gone better than perhaps it has in the past. And am I right in thinking that the time you did the best was after you spent some time in the hashtag house with the pros?
Okay, so I think that's a coincidence more than a cause. Okay. But it is for the same reason that you're thinking of that I got better at this game, basically. Mm. So we went and just played pro clubs with the lads from the hashtag house. But I've had a glow up is probably the best way to put it. When I first started playing champs.
Golden glow up?
What's a golden glow up?
That's a shout out to the Evo Once Upon a Time. I think that was like one of the first Evos.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now I need golden glow up part two to get to 18 wins. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. My two sensitivity and my closest to the ball player switch is going to be golden glow up part two.
There you go.
Right, yeah. So I've had a bit of a glow up from first week of foot champs. I got 9 wins.
Mm.
Then I got 11 and was like, yes, sus this. Then I got 9 again. I was like, oh, shit. And then I got 11 again. And then I was just fumbling around, B&A, win a game, lose a game, win a game, lose a game, win a game, lose a game. Like fully tryharding, just about scraping 11 each week. And I was losing a crap loads of coins in Squabbler Showdown. I think it took me like 6 episodes just to win a game.
And so this isn't just with your Everton team, right?
No, no, no. This was just in general, yeah. I wasn't very good at this game. So during the Squabbler Showdown advent calendar, where we have a lot of guests on that don't usually come on, be that because they're pro players and I don't like discarding all my coins like Tex and Ozio. Or just because they are perhaps from America and recording is a pain in the ass, like running a foot market, or just Pieface who's all over the place and sleeps most of the day and is up at 2 a.m. We have loads of different guests, but some of them guests were Ozio, in particular Ozio, I talked to him quite a bit about it, picked up some stuff from Tex, picked up some stuff from Bateson from Run the Foot Market, and basically said to myself during Score of the Showdown event, I'm going to actually start being good at this game.
What a concept. Wow.
Yeah. And every time I played one of them, I asked them for something that I could do better.
Mm.
And Ozio was probably the one who gave me the most stuff. And then I ended up like texting them a bit and talking to them a little bit about it and going through some things.
Can you give us an example?
Yeah, so nothing crazy and nothing like where people come in and go, oh, it's easy for you to get good at the game. You've got mates who are pros. I said, well, you could just watch me do it and just copy it. Like, it's not, I'm not doing mad stuff. Ozio hasn't sent me a secret WhatsApp voice note of like hidden tricks. There's a couple of hidden things that I think are annoying that you don't get told. And I had to be told one of them by text. Some of them are so subconscious to the pros and the better players that they don't even realize they're doing it. So I played like this mad chip through ball. I was playing against Tex and I was being a proper sweat. And I was playing 5-4-1. Like, at this point, Tex is considered the best player in the world. And I think if I hadn't have crapped myself so much when I got thrown goal and got mind games by his goalkeeper movement, genuinely could have won. Probably should have been 1-1. And he ended up beating me 2-0. He had a goal line clearance and then ran down the other end of the pitch in the 90th minute and made it 2-0. Which is says something else about five at the back, which is just ridiculous that I could even get close to Tex. But he did a chip through ball. I did the chip through ball, sorry, and was through on goal. I can't remember who it was, but I remember them specifically being like an icon or really good. And they did these two stupid touches with their head and knee, and his defender caught me up. He did the exact same thing, and his player plucked the ball out of the air perfectly and then exploded past my defender. And I said to him, what did you do? How did you do that? Why are your players better controlling the ball than mine? Like, you just, that's mental. Like, they should just control the ball. He's like, oh, you just hold L1. I was like, what do you mean you just hold L1? He's like, yeah, when you play a long ball to someone, obviously you hold L1 for them to control the ball. Do you? Like, is that that's a thing people do?
No, I didn't know that.
Would recommend it. It's absolutely unbelievable. If you can even hold L1 and R2 at the same time, and they just let go of L1 and they just sprint off. It's mental.
Hmm.
It's absolutely insane.
I thought that's,
nobody's ever told me that.
That's strafe dribble, isn't it? If you want to just press and hold it, right? You can strafe dribble, but mm-hmm. Yeah, that is interesting.
Just hold L1. Someone pings you a ball, hold L1. If it's an air ball. It's crazy.
So I got into a habit of tapping it when receiving a ball, especially when I was using bad players, and noticed a marked improvement.
It's crazy. So that's a bit of a secret one. The rest of it is just like watching Ozio do player lock and trying to copy his player lock and asking him why he did it. And he explained that flat-footed balls into feet thing.
Oh, I can't do player lock either.
You don't do it. You get 20-0 of our player lock and L1 thing. Japes, you're a wizard, mate. Must be the two sensitivity. No, so there's that one.
It's all about matchmaking.
Yeah, you play against soccer players, isn't it? That's what it is.
What's that?
I said you play against soccer players.
I've done a year in NA. I know it's not easy.
NA is all about broken mechanics. Like, if you can break the game, NA players will absolutely do it.
I don't know if it's that much harder, but it's definitely that much more frustrating, I can tell you.
Yeah, Bugs came to EU and dropped a 20-0. It's definitely not that. The only people who play foot champs in NA are absolute nerds, aren't they? Whereas kids play foot champs in EU. That's obviously a generalization, but it's probably
Shout out to NA listeners, but
it's not true.
Yeah.
Right?
So that I conceded a hat trick of Travellas to Radioactive Benzema to Ozio. And I was just like, this is stupid. And then I started doing it myself. Never scored a Traveller before then. Not intentionally thought, I'm gonna Traveller this anyway. They're so broken. Bought Van Dijk, that was a good one.
Oh, yeah. My weekend league results also improved as soon as I caved and bought Van Dijk.
I'd rather play against player than Mbappe every game than Van Dijk.
Mm.
And to be honest with you, I usually play against both of them. So it doesn't really say much, but I wish Van Dijk didn't exist. Same for any anticipate plus centre back that is like stupidly high rated. Company, Blanc, etc. Stupid.
Yeah, we haven't called it Trash Panda yet, so we should probably say that.
Yeah.
But anything else you wanted to kind of drop in as a key bit of advice you've got? Because so far that's all really useful. I'll definitely be using it. I've been using L1 a little bit. I use it in conjunction with R1 sometimes to get a bit of almost like a gas pedal and brake kind of situation to kind of maneuver around. But anything else?
The other thing I'd say would be defensively.
Mm.
So then this is where I'm like, you don't have to be mates with a pro to be able to get better at the game. You just have to watch people who are very good at the game and have a bit of, it's like with anything, isn't it? Practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect, and creating a feedback loop makes perfect practice. Where you have to be able to look at your own gameplay, see what you're doing wrong, look at somebody else's gameplay and see what they're doing better. So one week I couldn't defend, so I just watched some of Bugs' stream and just watched what he did. And whilst I was watching his stream, tried to play along basically and think what I would do in this situation. And then went into my own gameplay and did what he did instead. And basically what he was doing is he would manually close a player down. If it was appropriate, try to tackle them. And if it wasn't appropriate because they were still in quite a bit of space, I'm going to make a pass. He would right stick switch to whoever they were going to try and pass to, hold R1 to continue pressing the player with the person they've just manually brought over there, and then try to read the next passage of play.
Mm.
And if that didn't work, he would then repeat the process again and again and again and again, constantly trying to predict what their opponent was going to do, cover the passing lane as you try to close them down. If you can tackle them, tackle them. If you can't, next passage of play. Okay, he's going to play it into his centre mid. I'm going to right stick switch to my centre mid and try and get in front of him. And honestly, if you can, when my brain is switched on, which isn't a lot of the time when I'm playing foot tramps because it is a little bit mind numbing, I am actually quite good at this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I can feel the difference.
You became a student of the game.
Yeah, I can feel the difference of me being like thinking ahead and not tunnel vision, staring at the screen with my eyes glazed over. Like my brain is engaged and I'm like, he's going to go there. I've switched to him. I've got the ball. Thank you for that. Let's go bang, bang, bang. Player lock, player lock. Ball roll, Travella, goal. And I'm just like, this game is so easy if you actually know what to do and how to engage your brain. My biggest thing is I can't do that for 20 games. I don't know if I've got ADHD or something, but I just can't do it.
Mm.
I think I do actually have ADD, to be honest with you. Undiagnosed, yeah, slightly anyway.
I think a lot of people do, to be honest, I have to say. Like, yeah. And also the expectation to focus for that long, it's very, very difficult. Most people tend to play a lot of games simultaneously because of champs restrictions.
Hey, Andy. When you play League of Legends, do you struggle staying focused for 40 minutes?
Yes, but depending on... I haven't played League for ages. It would depend on the game state and it depends how many games I've played beforehand.
Mm.
And also my own internal value that I've placed on the game.
You're playing ranked and you want to win.
Yeah, but even when you're playing ranked and you want to win, sometimes you do just go into autopilot and play with your eyes glazed over.
Totally.
And go through the motions. If it's your rank up game, you play like you've injected Adderall into your veins or something, you know? And you haven't. You've just turned your brain on. Or at least that's what it feels like to me. I don't know if that's what it feels like to everybody else.
Yeah.
The difference between me staring at the screen on autopilot is like 11 wins now. Whereas focusing and playing properly, I can consistently beat people. I did a charity esports tournament thing for the NSPCC. But everyone entered it, gets 16 wins, 14 wins in foot champs. I was battering them.
Mm.
But that's because I was like, I am going to qualify for my own esports tournaments because it had my name on it. And I was like, this is cool. And I think so far, there's been like me, Bateson, Alia, Sarah, I think Sean is on today. There's a few of us. I'm the only one who's made it to groups from my tournament.
Man.
But it was because I was like, it was also because I bought Mbappe because I played on my main account. But they all had Player of the Month Mbappe and stuff as well because they were like sweaty foot champs players. But I, for the first time, had Mbappe and was like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
It's so
I have
unfair.
Not used Mbappe either. And I just like know that if I were to buy him, here's the problem. If I were to buy him and use him, it would be like when I bought Van Dijk and I finally caved and I was just like, wow, this game got way, way easier and it's worth like a couple wins. It's easy worth a couple wins of just jammy Mbappe stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Over the course of a couple close games, and like, it's hard to get a player like that out of your team.
Yeah, no, great points. And we could continue to talk about this forever, but we won't do for now. Hopefully we'll have you back sooner than we've had you back this time to talk about maybe content, maybe gameplay. And yeah, it's been a pleasure to have you back on, Andy. Thank you for coming on.
For me, I always love rambling about anything, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right to glory. Totally. But happy to talk. Would you like to talk about coffee or beers or anything?
Actually, to be fair, Japes and I,
I'm here
both
for that.
Hold our own in a coffee conversation.
Yeah. I've gone down a really, really interesting rabbit hole of like coffee or espresso content makers on Instagram.
Nice. And it's like ASMR.
My espresso game has picked up drastically over the past week or two. So I'm here for the chatter.
The guest next week will be James Hoffman.
I love James Hoffman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coffee-based YouTube joke.
Big fan of the Hoff. Thank you very much to Josh as well. It's been good to have you on.
Yes, thank you very much for having me. Just one last tip before we move on, because it did get mentioned and we did talk about Travellas and finesse shots quite a lot. If you ball roll before them, you get a much more accurate and broken finesse shot and Travella. So add that in if they're not working for you.
Nice. A good point. And thank you very much as well to Japes. It's been great to have you on the podcast.
Thank you, Ben. I do want to say that if you do ball roll before them, you're not going to be able to look at yourself in the mirror the same way. So just know that going in.
Yeah. The spamming of ball rolls is one of my least favorite. If someone spams ball rolls, I just spam them myself and they kind of stop. I think they get embarrassed or something. Try it. See what happens. Anyway, thank you very much to all you listeners tuning in. If you would like to subscribe to the podcast via the various podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts and Spotify, you can do. And if you're listening on YouTube, then, you know, leave a like, drop a comment, and we'll be at AndyAJ3 Squad Builder Showdown views in no time, I'm sure. And if you would like this podcast twice a week, double the podcast content for free initially, and then it's just £3 a month, just search Support for Weekly. Follow the link to Patreon and you can support there. If you are supporting, a huge thank you for doing so. And a huge thank you too to those Icon patrons. Dave B, Hugh J, Darren W, Alistair M, Dom P, Rob P, Jeff B, Damon H, Tom B, Adam G, Neil P, Alex M, Jake S, Dan W, Roger D, Lee A, Andrew C, Nishant, Waterman, Dylan H, Adam R, Rob L, Brendan W, Michael K, David G, Jimmy K, Michael B, Aditya S, and Joshua K. Plus a special thanks to Luke M, Dave B, Hugh J, Tom M, Darren W, and Pato Foot for advice and production assistance. Before I leave you, just one more thing to add, though. FIFA's a bit like life, really. It has its many ups and its many downs. If you're having a few more downs than ups in real life in these more difficult times, then please don't feel that you're alone or need to struggle on without taking action. If you go to thecalmzone.net, there's loads of resources, advice, support, or even just a friendly chat for anyone who needs it. If it sounds like it could help you, then head over to thecalmzone.net. And for now, have a good one, and I'll catch you on the next podcast.
Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.